Jay Tetzlaff got a lesson in public relations crisis management he did not predict when he showed up for work at Miller Park Zoo one Monday last month. Bloomington Zoo director and head of its Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts departments became entrenched in a story that grabbed international headlines after a young patron struck a flamingo with a rock. The zoo had to euthanize the bird. Tetzlaff tells GLT's Eric Stock media inundated his office with requests about a matter he wanted kept private.
It's not what I want us to be known for the Miller Park Zoo from the national perspective. I had probably around 60 news outlets from all over the country and all over the world reach out to me. We only sent two-sentence responses to pretty much everybody. We were kind of hoping to keep this on the down low since it's no one won. This is a no-win situation. We lost our bird, and the amount of hate mail that I got over this was, I think, ridiculous, and it was disappointing.
Where was the hate mail coming from?
We said it was an accident. I don't think anybody's going to know if it was an accident or not. This was a young kid. He's the only one who knows if it was an accident or not. So we did our best to work with the family I really did want this to go away. I've been honest for the last couple weeks about that. Again, not wanting us to be known for I want us to be known for a great alligator exhibit we just built, or the palace cat kittens we just had born, something like that, not of an incident where we lost a bird.
Well, of course, there are some who say there's no such thing as bad publicity. Maybe that's what brings people in to find out about all the things that you do offer here.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great May in terms of attendance, broke the all-time gate revenue record for the month of May of any month we've ever had. And the zoo's been around since 1891, so it's not just a short-term record. But, I know alligators had a lot to do with that. Maybe flamingos had something to do with that, too.
So the hate mail that you were getting, was there an expectation that they were going to haul the kid away, that there were going to be charges? What was that stemming from?
It was for everything. It was the anti-zoo, which we get periodically, and I understand that. I wish zoos didn't have to be around either. I wish we could have animals in habitats in the wild, and everyone's doing great. We don't have any endangered species, but that's not the world we live in. It was everything from shouldn't have a zoo to it's your job to take care of the animals. The kids should be dealt with. This was no accident. And probably everything in between that.
And you had initially kept this quiet, as you said, nothing online, nothing on social media. As you said, a two-sentence response to those who had inquired about it. How did word get out that this had happened?
I think it was a posting on Facebook that kind of started it. So this happened.
And it wasn't a Miller Park Zoo posting.
It was not a posting from the zoo or zoo staff. This happened in the public's view. So, I had somebody that I know went up to and told somebody, hey, I was there that day. I saw it happen. So, we had 600 or 700 people at the zoo that day. So a lot of people saw it, and the word got around.
I don't imagine there's really a blueprint for how to handle this kind of thing, at least from a public response. What sort of guided your decision-making process on how to manage this from a public relations standpoint?
You're right. I've been in the business 32 years now and have never had to deal with anything like this. I think at the end of day one, maybe it was beginning of day two, I called two friends of mine who are zoo directors and been zoo directors for 30-some years and said, hey, here's what happened. What would you guys do? And I got the same response that I had. Boy, that's a good one. It isn't something that comes up in a lot of our discussions. My viewpoint was to be private, to handle the family privately. It was no one's responsibility or no one's responsibility is not the right word. I didn't feel it was worthy to, post publicly who it was, where they're from, anything. We've talked with the family. I'm okay with how we handled it with the family. I just think we were trying to, in some cases, protect the family. The bird was gone. I can't go back. If I could, I'd re-hit the reset for that Monday morning and say, this doesn't happen. We lost the bird. I know the family feels horrible. And it's just one of those things that it's an unfortunate incident, and I hope we handled, you know, maybe 2 years from now we'll go back to it and go, did we handle it right? That's the best I can do at this point.
Had you considered putting out a brief message, perhaps on social media, something along those lines, while, of course, respecting the family's privacy to sort of try to get out ahead of it, possibly, that may have stemmed some of that pushback?
We did. We talked about a couple things, but I think the bigger, I mean, it was already out there, and the nastiness that comes out of social media sometimes was out there, and I guess I wasn't trying to do anything that could possibly be considered fuel on the fire. And again, we just kind of laid low and let it go and let it burn itself out.
And of course, part of the attraction of zoos like Miller Park Zoo is the intimacy that you get with the animals that you don't necessarily get in some of the larger ones. Do you simply chalk this up to stuff happens? You can't supervise every patron every moment they're here?
I think so. You know, Eric, we talked about what, you know, we've talked about the staff. Well, how do we prevent this? You know, it was a rock that was picked up out of landscaping, you know, not next to the exhibit. And the group was chaperoned. It wasn't a lack of supervision. It happened quickly, and that's all it takes. I don't want to lose the intimacy that we have. You know, I think that's one of the best things about our zoo. And we're at a zoo where those things don't happen until they do. And that's something we've had to kind of deal with since then.
Any changes as a result?
You know, we've been talking internally. Like I said, you know, we talked about having minimums with the amount of with these amount of kids, you got to have these amount of chaperones. That's really never been a problem for us, and it wasn't a problem in this incident. So even if we had mandated the things we've started to talk about, it still may not have stopped it. We're going to put some minimums in place of you have to be X amount of age to be able to come in on your own. You know, we figured if you're paying an adult. If you're paying a child admission fee, then you can't come in by yourself. I mean, it's as simple as that. If we're saying a 12-year-old is an adult because that's how we charge them, then 12-year-olds can be responsible for themselves. But below that, you have to come in with an adult.
And, of course, parents can't control where they are every second, too.
Right.
It's just what happens, you know.
Right. This happened really fast. Again, unfortunate incident. It's been a no-win situation.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Jay Tetzloff, who is director of Miller Park Zoo and director of Bloomington Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts. And this has been a particularly tough time for the Parks Department. Last Friday was the funeral for Joe Olson. Coach Joe, as he was known, really the godfather of the local hockey movement, he died of a heart attack. How would you describe what impact Coach Joe had on hockey in this community as a relatively new sport since the Pepsi Ice Center opened back in 2006?
Joe is everything about hockey. At his funeral on Friday, hearing his brother talk about things I didn't know, Joe played semi-pro hockey as a senior in high school. That's pretty cool. When you think about hockey then, that was more like slapstick. Slapshot than the NHL you see today. I mean, it was much rougher and dirty, really, then. So to hear about him able to play that as a senior in high school is pretty amazing. But, you know, the thing I heard over and over from the parents of Bloomington Hockey and just the community was if my kid walked into the place the first time, the second time he walked in, Joe would know his name. That's a phenomenal trait. And skill set
with hundreds of kids.
Yes, and adults. I heard one adult was there were like 20 years between the first time and the second time, and Joe remembered who they were. That's pretty phenomenal. I think without a doubt, Joe built the hockey that we see here in Bloomington Normal. No doubt in my mind about that. Now it's our job to make sure it keeps growing. In tribute to Joe.
Is there anything in particular that Pepsi Ice Center is doing to help carry on that legacy?
You know, we're going to be looking at programming. It's summer, so we're working on our summer camps right now. But this fall, you know, we'll be looking at, you know, what did Joe do? You know, everybody is good at what they do, but could be better. And so we want to take what Joe did well and make it better. And so, you know, down the road, we'll hire new staff to replace Joe, which will be a very hard shoe to fill. But we've got to be able to move forward too, and Joe would understand that and would want that. But you know, we're hoping to grow hockey here, continue to grow hockey as we've done in the past.
And of course, at the pro and semi-pro level, the teams that have played at the arena have sort of had their ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Do you look at those two things together or separate? Because hockey as a participation sport has grown continually every year, regardless of what happens at the spectator level.
With hockey here at the ice center, it's been huge. You know, we don't have enough ice time to go around. And then you see, the USHL team struggle and not coming back next year. For at least a year. It was surprising for me. I've been at other communities where the building was a sellout, and it was USHL. So I would hear things like, well, it's not good hockey. Come out and watch it. You know, it's these are potential NHL picks. Or I'd say, do you like college hockey? Then, I mean, these guys are, a lot of these are going to have a scholarship next year, or, you know, that's what they're playing for. It was good hockey the majority of the time. So it's disappointing to see those two didn't kind of jive together and move hockey forward in this community.
Could it have something to do with the fact that the arena has had its issues and some of its perception problems going back to the beginning, those that didn't want it here and decided that they weren't going to support whatever was in there?
Yeah, I've had one gentleman say, I'm a hockey fan, but I won't go to the Coliseum. And I struggle with that. I can't imagine this community without it. I moved here just about 10 years ago. And that's what I go to the most. I'm a hockey fan. I'll wear my Penguins jersey at games when I go. So it's disappointing that people would make that choice, but you know, it's how they feel. I can't change how they feel, but I think they missed out on good quality hockey when it was here.
Well, that's Bloomington Parks Recreation and Cultural Arts Director Jay Tetzloff with GLT's Eric Stock.